From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The new movie, Brokeback Mountain, has been tagged a gay Western, which makes the film sound like a shot fired in today's culture wars. But Bob Mondello says its strengths are those of classic Westerns, acting, story, and big sky.
Jack Twist and Ennis Del Mar, dirt poor ranch hands looking for summer jobs, meet outside a Wyoming trailer in 1963. Except they don't really meet, because neither says a word until a foreman finally shows up and asks their names. For much of that summer, tending sheep on a mountain called Brokeback, they stay remote from each other. In fact, even after they fall into a drunken sexual encounter that both shocks them and feels right enough to repeat, they barely talk, except to mutter that what happens on Brokeback stays on Brokeback. Then at some end.
Well, I guess I'll see you around, huh?
Right.
They return to convention, getting married, having kids. But when Jack gets back in touch with Ennis 4 years later, those feelings they didn't talk about come flooding back. Longings that can't be sated with twice-a-year fishing weekends where no one fishes. Jack wants more, Ennis can't see how.
You got your wife and baby in Texas, and, you know, I got my life in Riverton.
That's so. You and Alma, that's a lie.
Oh, you shut up about Alma. This ain't her fault. The bottom line is, we're around each other, and this thing grabs hold of us again in the wrong place, in the wrong time, and we're dead.
Rugged individuals stoically facing longing and loss. That's the essence of Annie Proulx's short story, and it also describes a lot of Westerns, if you make allowances for the kind of longing. So director Ang Lee blends the genre's spareness and the character's terseness into a persuasively epic horse opera, with iconic heroes silhouetted against spectacular scenery, pondering questions movie cowboys seldom ask. Jake Gyllenhaal's Reckless Jack is engaging, but the film rides mostly on the shoulders of Heath Ledger's Ennis, all grumbled denials and downcast stares. It also fleshes out the men's families, establishing that no one wins when they bow to social pressures. Alas, they don't see an alternative, a time-honored tale that even in this telling has less to do with sexuality than with the dreams that get deferred. Jack and Ennis crafted an Eden atop Brokeback Mountain, but when they came back down, they couldn't bring themselves to be themselves, and it evaporated. Sad story. Terrific movie. I'm Bob Mondello.
Larry McMurtry and Diana Ossana wrote the screenplay for Brokeback Mountain. McMurtry is known for his novels Lonesome Dove, The Last Picture Show, Terms of Endearment. But he's also written many screenplays, often with Ossana. They told our colleague Melissa Block recently that they've been at it long enough to have a particular way of working.
The process is this. I am a very early riser, a very early writer, and I strictly limit myself to 5 pages a day. And I'm usually done with those pages by 8:30 in the morning. And I give them to Diana.
And they come through rather skeletal, and then I fill them in and then expand them. And we do that every single day, 7 days a week, through holidays and whatever.
For the length of the project.
Yes, for the length of the project to get to a first draft.
What was it about the Annie Proulx story, about Brokeback Mountain, that made you think this is a movie and we want to be the ones to write that screenplay?
Well, it's a great, great story. It's the best material I've ever had to work with as a screenwriter. It's a tragedy. It's an 11-page tragedy about a doomed love.
Diana, what about you?
Well, I first read the story in The New Yorker in 1997 when it first came out. And, of course, instantly I saw the beauty and simplicity in Annie's prose, but it was, even though it was very simple, I started thinking, my God, I want everyone I know to read this story. It is so amazing. And then I began, it was just this thing that sort of happened. It began to snowball, and I thought, this should be a film. It should be a film. It should be a film.
Diana, you were talking about the simplicity and the spareness of the language in that story. Does part of the challenge become, then, how to flesh that out, how to take something that's so spare and make it a feature film, make it something that has flesh?
That was the challenge, but it was one that we greeted happily because the material is so good.
And we fleshed it out along clearly suggested lines. That is, we put in the domestic life. We put in the kind of parallel story of the women in their lives and showed them how complicated this tragedy actually was.
I'd like to talk to you a bit about Annie Proulx's language. A lot of the dialogue that's in her story ends up more or less verbatim in your screenplay. Let's take a listen to a scene from the film. This is when Ennis's ex-wife, at this point they're divorced, Alma, confronts him about what she has long suspected, really known.
You still go fishing with Jack Twist?
Not often.
No, I used to wonder how come you never brought any trouts home. You always said you caught plenty, and you know how me and the girls lack fish. So one night I got your creel case open, not before you went on one of your little trips. Price tag still on it after 5 years. And I tied a note to the end of the line. It said, "Hello, Ennis, bring some fish home. Love, Alma." And then you come back, looking all perky. And said you caught a bunch of browns and you ate them up. Do you remember? I looked in that case first chance I got, and there was my note still tied there. That line hadn't touched water in its life.
It mean nothing, Alma.
Such a great scene. It just makes my heart ache.
And that is a scene that's pretty much word for word from
the book. That's verbatim from the book. A lot of times we didn't see a single thing to change.
The dialogue is pitch perfect.
It's interesting if you read the short story and the screenplay side by side, which I wouldn't recommend for everyone, but it's an interesting exercise. There are lots of places in the story that are not dialogue, but that are Annie Proulx's description of emotion or landscape that become part of the script, again, not as dialogue, but as, I don't know if there's a word for it, but as instructions to the director or to
sort
the actor.
It's narrative instruction.
Narrative instruction. There's one I'm thinking of. This is a scene when Ennis and Jack have reunited 4 years after their original summer on Brokeback Mountain, and they've embraced very tightly, and then they've separated, and there's a paragraph where Annie Proulx writes, "Ennis can still smell Jack, the intensely familiar odor of cigarettes, musky sweat, and a faint sweetness like grass, and with it the rushing color of the mountain."
Isn't that beautiful? How could you not put that in there? I mean, I felt it was very necessary to have that in the narrative because I knew that ultimately if we were to cast this, we would probably be casting young actors who hadn't had a lot of acting experience, let alone life experience. That's such evocative prose, and I felt it would be an aid to anyone, the actors and the director both.
Diana Ossana wrote the screenplay for Brokeback Mountain with Larry McMurtry. They spoke with Melissa Block. The movie opens today in New York, Los Angeles, and San Francisco.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.